Thank you, Jeff. Nice to be back here at Darlington. It's a very full room, I have to say. Today's reading in Corinthians is almost a complete exhortation in itself. It will probably appeal to the keen gardeners in our midst. And we're reminded that though we may plant seed, and though we may water the seed, it is God who gives the increase. We're reminded that we all have a part to play, a role, that collectively we can unite and be strong together, forming God's building. But before we can begin to build, we must first prepare the ground and lay the foundation. And we read in verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And that is why we've gathered here today. We come to remember Jesus, he who has given us hope, who provides that foundation, the platform on which we can try and build together. But we are warned in the final few verses not to boast, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And we finally read, "And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." I actually wrote this exhortation a few weeks ago. So rather than try and fit it around today's readings, I'll hope that you will allow me to take you back a few weeks, back to Matthew chapter 26, which I'm sure that you all know very well. Matthew chapter 26. It's quite a long chapter, so I'm not going to read it all out. But what struck me most of all about this chapter was actually the reaction of the disciples, and in particular Peter. And I wondered if I would have behaved any differently to him. I would like to think so. But if it had been us, if it had been you or me, would we have reacted any differently? Jesus says in verse 31 of Matthew 26, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Peter, being very sure of himself, replies in verse 33, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." A bold statement, perhaps. And would we have said something similar if we'd been there in Peter's shoes? Speaking of Peter, Jesus says, "This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But who could possibly do that? I wouldn't. You wouldn't. Neither would Peter. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you," Peter says. But when Peter heard the rooster crowing, he remembered the words Jesus had spoken. He would also remember what he had said. And then he went outside and wept bitterly. Where would we have been, brethren and sisters? At the side of our Lord, or outside, weeping bitterly? Now I'd like to ask you another question. Are you happy? We're all striving for happiness, striving for a little bit more, for bigger, for better, to be fitter, to be stronger. But do we ever achieve happiness? Or is it an ever-shifting goal? We make plans for our future. But how often do we look forward, or look towards, sorry, our Heavenly Father for guidance? Not so long ago, my lovely wife, had an idea. Let's move to the country, she said. So we sold our house, our lovely warm modern house, and managed to rent a stunning stone-built character property. And what they don't tell you about when you rent such a place is how damp and how cold it can be. We both prayed about selling and moving house, and I think that we've been well blessed and guided. But what we have found out ultimately is that we would actually like to live in a modern, warm house. Sometimes we can get swept along. We can make very impulsive decisions. We can get swept along on a wave of decision making, but then on reflection, we might stop and pray. But often this is a little too late. So then, when should we pray? And how often? Perhaps we should look to Jesus for some guidance. What does he do? Where does he pray? How often? How long does he pray for? Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." He went away a second time and prayed. He left them once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. It's clear to us that Jesus thought it was very important to pray and to let God guide the outcome. When Storm Desmond came to visit us, high up on the moor near Barnard Castle, I was very afraid. I've never witnessed power that was in the wind, the destructive force of the rain. I said a prayer for several nights to keep us safe. And then the other week, just as I was about to sit down for my tea, the phone rang. And I decided not to ignore it for once, because I was the only person in the house. "Hello?" It was Lois. We've had an accident, but we're all right, but the car's right off. I don't remember what I said to her, but I do remember saying a few more prayers on the journey to recover them. I saw the flashing lights of the police car and the ambulance, and then I saw the taillights of the car on its side in the trees. Even though I'd spoken to Lois, I had no idea what to expect. I was met by a policewoman. She tried her best to reassure me. I was trying very hard to keep my head. Then I saw a figure coming towards me. It was difficult to see who it was because it was in the middle of nowhere. It was dark. There were headlights shining in my face. And the first thing I noticed was a fluorescent jacket, one like the paramedics wear. But I couldn't make out the face. So I looked down out of the glare of the headlights. And then I noticed the hairy legs. And I knew it was Isaac. Because Lois's legs aren't that hairy. Sorry, Lois's legs aren't hairy at all. No words were spoken, but there was a very manly hug. A hug that I will never forget. I thank God that night for keeping Isaac and Lois safe. I'm sure we all plan for the future. For holidays, for jobs, for homes. But sometimes things happen and our lives change. We appreciate that we have the things that we look forward. We appreciate what we have and the things that we look forward to become less important. Because I've reached a certain age, I now listen to Radio 2. And I recently heard a very interesting gentleman who quoted a Buddhist saying. He said that we live in the world that we picture in our mind. And I think that recent events have made me much more positive about life. When it was announced that there was a number of redundancies recently at work, it really didn't bother me as it would have done previously. In Philippians chapter 4, we read from verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So then, what of our Lord and Saviour? Was he happy? It would seem not. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that he would be betrayed. He even knew that it would be Judas who would betray him. In verse 38 of Matthew 26 we read, "Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. stay here and keep watch with me. And here we're reminded that Jesus was indeed like us, that he too had to battle with the mortal flesh with which he was born. But perhaps the difference being that he was willing to put his trust totally in God. We saw, or rather we read, that he prayed 3 times. And I would suggest that Jesus spent hours in prayer rather than just moments, certainly long enough for the disciples to have fallen asleep in any case. So then Jesus wasn't beaming with happiness when he was betrayed, but who would be? But what he knew was that ultimately it would result in him giving up his life. That what he was doing was fulfilling his Heavenly Father's wishes. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, life can get us down. We can become overcome with the problems, with ill health, or the terrible tragic events that we see on the news. We sometimes paint a very dark picture of the world. But Lois and Isaac will tell you that they were shown love and kindness of the people that helped them, and that included 3 total strangers who stopped and got out of their cars and went to see if they could help. We so often look forward to the return of Jesus, but we must try and keep positive. There is still so much to marvel at and be thankful for in God's creation. We live in the world that we picture in our mind. And now is the time to examine ourselves. All that we have and the opportunity that we have been given through Christ our Saviour. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.